I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What else is new as you watch us on the simulcast? Endless construction in New York City.
Hey, where is that at?
What was that? As they keep building higher and higher and higher since there's nowhere out to, nowhere else to go. Left or right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206.
I'm sure they're blocking somebody's view. They'd already had a view of the river, and they no longer will have a view because the river is right there. Yeah. They will no longer have a view, somebody, of the river. Sucks for them.
Exactly. They don't care. Exorbitant prices. We got to make our money.
Exactly.
What's up, dude?
All's good,
man. Missed you for a couple days. You hold it down?
We did. Absolutely, we did. Had a good time, too. Interesting series, too, that you missed.
I watched the game.
I know. I didn't talk about it.
And I talked amongst my brother, with my brother-in-law. And you know what? I talked to a nice little coinage on Sunday night. I'll tell you that.
I got to tell you, it's interesting. And it's so much of a coaching matchup. Then it is about the players, obviously, especially when you look at the Warriors, who have so many injuries. But it just leads to the coaching matchup because of what Steph Curry, and I talked about this yesterday, what he's been able to do with, like, the walking wounded. And now Kevin Looney, who started game one, he's out for game three. Mm-hmm. Clay's got a hamstring strain, grade one, I believe they said it is.
He's not playing. Clay, if he does, he ain't going to be right.
Clay?
He looked bad.
He did, of course.
He looked bad.
He didn't play for 8 minutes.
He sat out.
And then, obviously, KD, we don't know what's going on with him, but he's likely not to play either.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way. If they mess around and win game three.
They're six-point favorites, by the way.
I know.
How do you not jump on that from a betting point of view? With all these unknowns, I don't know. I hope Clay plays, and I hope that Clay's okay. But they are banged up. To your point of what you were saying about Steve Kerr, we heard it in the open. It was a new open. And when I'm away, and I would imagine Tiki would do this on some level with the NFL, I got to make sure my boy doesn't say anything wacky and make the show look weird with these great declarations. And when I saw this declaration as I followed the show from a distance from the road, Steve Kerr, and you used the word might, to be fair, Steve Kerr might already be the top five head coaches of all time.
Give me your number five. We already know the top four.
But I got a question for you.
We got the four already.
Who are you leaving out? I know you have Phil.
Phil.
I know you
Red,
have Pop.
Red.
You have Red. You have to have Pat Riley.
Riley.
Okay, so you're leaving off Red Auerbach is who you're leaving off.
No. Phil, Red Auerbach. Right?
I mean, Holtzman from the Knicks. You're going to leave him off.
Yes. Because I don't know Holtzman, and he doesn't pop historically unless you know the Knicks. That's why I left him off. And then I got to, like, Chuck Daly.
Chuck's not even close.
And it's funny,
I thought about Chuck, too.
Yeah.
But, I did think about Chuck,
but
too.
But I was racking my brain, like, who's five?
Lenny Wilkins lost a lot.
Yeah.
I know he won a lot. Same with, Don Nelson.
But given...
Teague, it's not a crazy statement.
It's not. And if he messes around and wins this one, with the way that this has had played out in this finals, which will give him four, and he's been to five straight, and, I mean, if it hadn't been for... Draymond going nuts and kicking whoever in the groin and getting his 16th tech and missing a game against the Cavaliers when they were up 3-1. Mm-hmm. Forget that. They were up 3-1 in that series in 2016.
That was with LeBron.
I know. He was up 3. They were, but the Warriors were up 3-1 in that series. If Steve Kerr had won that one and he had four in a row and going from number five in a row, It's just a lot that made me say Steve Kerr doesn't get enough credit for what Steve Kerr does.
I don't think you're wrong. Now, listen, I think what happens, and you certainly prefaced all this yesterday with what you said, what happens the next week or so, next 10 days.
Yep.
I mean, if he finds a way to win with, Band-Aids and stitches and glue and other adhesives to keep this thing together, it's going to be impossible. Even if he does lose, it's still almost impossible to deny him rarefied air. But I think, at least in the court of public opinion, I think the answer probably comes more next year.
Yeah.
If he loses Durant,
I'm sure.
There's more chapters to be written.
Definitely.
But
when he doesn't have
interesting point.
Three Hall of Famers all at one time, maybe even four if you want to count Draymond, right? Maybe four.
What about Boogie?
And Boogie, who came out of nowhere and played 28 minutes.
Played great, triple-double, right?
Unbelievable.
Basically.
Yeah, basically.
He was terrific.
And so if he does it without all those guys and gets to the conference finals or the NBA finals again, and then you have to give him really the credit that he deserves.
So I was in the car. I did catch some of the excerpts, as I said, on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, some of the YouTube stuff. We do stuff and put it out there, obviously, in case you miss it live, get a chance to repackage it. But I was driving back from Tiki's home state, Virginia, and it was pretty funny. I'm in the restaurant 5 minutes. There's Big Ralph Sampson.
Nice.
That was just, what a nice guy.
What was he
too.
Doing there? Just hanging? Have just random?
Drink.
Just random.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. We were at a nice resort, had a great time. Saturday, I said this to my wife. I think Saturday ranks as one of my, not thing, I know it ranks one of my top 5 days as a dad. Mm. Busch Gardens was great.
Yeah.
So your state treated us well. But driving home, the Waze kind of took us the wrong way. Daddy maybe miscalculated things a little bit. It's never as fun coming home as it is going on vacation.
No, because you're not getting there and doing anything fun other than what you do for on a regular day.
You notice the songs lack the same fervor. The games, you know, the word games, all the things you play with the kids lack the same energy. That was a little different coming home. But my point is, I didn't get a chance to hear the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to know, before we get into LeBron and Anthony Davis, please tell me you got on the great. He's not without. I mean, you could take shots. What in the world was Steph Curry doing with that tech? Did you get on him yesterday
for
that?
No, I did not.
How did you not get on him for that?
I didn't get deep into the game.
He almost cost him the game.
He did almost cost him the game. He almost got a foul that former players of the Toronto Raptors and some of the media are trying to get him suspended or at least penalized for running down the sideline and jumping on Quinn Cook, who looked terrible in the first half, by the way, Quinn Cook, but came up big in the second half. Look, Steph is he's more emotional this year than he's ever been, and I don't know why. Mm. Because he's always been this, like, I don't know, this temple of calm around everything that's happened to this organization over the last half a decade. He's always been the calm one. But now he's gotten into this emotional, I don't know,
space.
It's weird for him. Maybe it actually is who he is, and we have just seen the calming side of him come out.
I don't think so.
But
he was too calm for too long.
I agreed. It was odd.
Too emotionally controlled.
I did not get on him because it didn't cost him the game.
Should've,
but it was close.
Should have. That's inexcusable. I mean, Steph's done a lot right, and he is almost beyond reproach. Mm-hmm. Personally, as a player, that was ridiculous. I mean, in the basketball sense, in the finals, that's criminal,
mm-hmm.
what he pulled, throwing the ball 40 feet in the air. And if they didn't tee him up, I would have destroyed the refs. You had to tee him up. Yeah, I mean, so, all right, they get away with it. They get away with it. But that was a rare loss of control by the great Steph Curry. All right, so you've got a couple things going on here. And obviously, they stretch this out so the finals resumes tomorrow, game 3. And, you know, listen, the Anthony Davis stuff is getting some traction mm-hmm. here. We can get to that next segment, as is LeBron's situation, where I don't know if it's a stunning development, but according to a few who are, you know, in the know, Bill Plaschke's one of them. I think maybe Dave McMenamin from ESPN follows him, had some thoughts on this as well, where the, you know, what you and I have talked about, the sloppiness of the Lakers here might be driving LeBron James out of L.A.
Hmm.
And, you know, I don't think that that's the stunning development. What I think people need to realize is that LeBron controls everything. There's not a narrative that gets out there that really is beyond his tweaking.
Yeah.
He wanted this to get out there, I believe.
Here's the thing, and this is the first year, I think, since going back to maybe his first year in Miami when he had a couple-year deal, that he has no control over what happens with him over the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He has a 3-year and 2 years and an option left, and there is a no trade. So he doesn't have a no trade. So they basically, if the Lakers wanted to say, you're out, peace, we want to get rid of you, they can do that. I don't know if it's as easy as it sounds, But this is the first time in LeBron's career that, we can think of, at least in the height of his career, when he's winning championship viable LeBron, that he doesn't have control over himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that if he wants control over himself is to start floating stuff like this or orchestrating it behind the scenes. Now, is that happening? Who knows? This is very speculative. It's worded as LeBron may want to be traded if the Lakers whiff in free agency. So there's like a ton of hypotheticals, like mm-hmm. a triple hypothetical here. But ultimately, I don't see it happening. Because I think LeBron came to Los Angeles for a reason, and it wasn't necessarily to win a championship. Obviously, he believes that he can, but he has other interests. And we talked about it all offseason, all last offseason long, how LeBron loves L.A. because, one, it gives his son an opportunity to go to an elite high school and play with some other elite current and former basketball player stars. But also to be in the movie world, in the Hollywood world, where he's thriving. With his shop show, and then he's got a movie in production, and then there's all these other things that L.A. presents for mm-hmm. LeBron. And if he was going to get traded to, let's say, Portland, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be the same. So I don't think it'll happen. This is real speculation, but it might be the smart thing for the Lakers to do mm-hmm. if they want to actually get themselves right.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked about this a while ago where – I mean, to say that you would just trade him, it seems reckless because it doesn't factor in that you would still have to be diligent and get a good haul back. You would have to be smart for the Lakers. You just have to make a good trade. But conceptually, you and I have talked about this for a while, so this is not new to us. What is new, I think it's somewhat new. You know, it's fair to say that this equates to an egregious miscalculation on the part of LeBron James by forfeiting, his ability to manipulate his future for the first time in his career, as you just, at least in terms of, apex LeBron, if you will. I don't feel sorry for him. He knew what he was signing up for.
No, I don't either.
I'll take it a step further. If he did ever orchestrate a move out, right? Say if the Lakers whiff and it's only like, although, and we'll get into this coming up, it seems like the Pelicans might be mm-hmm. willing to re-engage the Lakers. Some of the pieces might like a little bit more than it was reported initially here. But if he stays, if he orchestrates a trade, I think LeBron James will get crushed, destroyed, and rightfully so in the court of public opinion. It's one thing to say, all right, you know what? There's a new measurement for the great players of the game. And if you, unlike Dave Bing back in the day or mm-hmm. Barkley more recently, or Malone and Stockton and Ewing, if you don't have a championship now, you will never reach the heights that you probably deserve and you've earned. So that's unfair. And that's on us.
You're right.
We created this. So he had to get a championship. I don't begrudge him for going to Miami.
Yep, same thing with KD.
I would crush him if he goes to the Lakers after 1 year, says, get me out of here. That would be the weakest move in the history of sports.
But do you think he wants to actually leave the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think he wants to stay, but I know he wants to win. And if they whiff, which is the big if mm-hmm. in these stories, from people who aren't just, let me throw it on. I mean, Bill Plaschke is a respected journalist. I mean, you got to at least take this as some, and there's some validity here, something behind this. Boy, that would be whack.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever used that word, but that would be whack.
But the question we'll ask and answer, maybe on the other side here, is do you think they actually will whiff?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Well, we'll get into it. There's no doubt. And we've got a couple different things we want to throw by you, which we will do coming up here. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show will pay it off on the other end. You know, does they have a new decision maker with the Pelicans? Does he feel maybe differently about some of the components of the previous trade that was floated between the Lakers and the Pelicans that was shot down by the Pelicans prior? We'll get into that. And listen, if he does orchestrate his exit from L.A., how would you feel as a consumer of the sport? Would you look right and you say, well, would you feel bad for him? I mean, if you feel bad for him, then it's like the Jordans and the Magics and the – now it's time to start laughing at him at that point. Because now it's getting pathetic. I mean, go here, go there, a time to leave, go here, 1 year time. Please stop. That would be That would be unacceptable in my book, but maybe others have a different spin. 1-855-212-4227. But as Tiki said, will the Lakers whiff? Most viable possibilities. We'll get to that coming up. Who they're going to land. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance on this Tuesday around the country. Tiki and Tierney rolling with you here. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, inbounds, out of bounds, coming up next segment here. A little something on Gerald McCoy, a little something on NBA expansion, a little something on Major League Baseball draft. So it's a good menu there. 1-855-212-4227. As we stick with the hoops out of the chute, little LeBron, little Pelicans as well. There's a few other things I think we need, and this actually all pertains to LeBron's need slash desire to add to the talent base there. I know this is getting a lot of traction. Not that the Kawhi is going to go to the Lakers. If he leaves, he's going to the Clippers anyway.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are making a lot of noise about Kawhi Leonard buying real estate, buying property in Toronto. I don't even flinch here. I think it's just a smart invest. Now, that's not to say that he won't possibly remain in Toronto, but to view that as the reason to assert that he's definitely staying, this guy's got money falling out of every pocket.
Yeah.
If he finds a good deal in Toronto, which is a beautiful city and a beautiful country, buy it.
Yeah.
It's a good investment.
And you never know what kind of relationships he's made on this Toronto Raptors team. He could just be like, hey, guys, you want to rent a house or you want to...
For future Raptor
players?
Yeah,
whatever.
There you go.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
If you're smart, that's the way to go because you find the right neighborhood that the player would want to be involved in, you know, or live in. That's close enough to the facility. It's not, you're not going to get bugged by, you know, over-aggressive fans. It's like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's smart to do that if you have the resources. And what BT's saying is these guys are making $30 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, how much is that house going to cost? Maybe $1.5 million?
Exactly.
Maybe?
Yeah, I mean, is it a condo, a house? I'm not sure. But, yeah, to that point, even if it's a penthouse, I mean, $5-6 million?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I wouldn't overreact to that. This worries me. This is – I got to be honest. With all my Kevin Durant fervor to the Knicks – there's something that happened today that's rattled me a bit.
Saw this.
A little bit.
I think I know what you're talking about.
You do. The Nike t-shirt?
The t-shirt.
Okay. Nike put out a t-shirt today, and I'm staring at it right now. It says, stay true. It says, easy buckets, KD logo, KD silhouette face. And on the back, it's like a concert t-shirt listing all the cities, you know, where he was first born, raised, and everywhere he's been. Fort Washington. Mouth of Wilson. Rockville. Austin with the Longhorns, obviously, in college. Seattle, got drafted by the Sonics.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City, Oakland. And below it, San Francisco, which, as we all know, is where they're moving to next year as they christen the Chase Center.
He has not played a game in San Francisco. Now, could he, like, have a condo or something in San Francisco? Maybe.
Yeah, that's not what this one's about. This is the only thing that's made me think twice.
I'm just a stupid t-shirt. Just giving some speculation. If they messed up, it could be because he actually has a real estate investment in San Francisco. But otherwise, I agree with you. Because you don't mess that up on accident.
Well, not if you're Nike.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're like a fledgling company and you're just like, let me throw this, you know, maybe we can get this or this organic, you know, hit, and maybe we get some sales, some traction online. It's Nike. I don't think they just make stuff up and hope it sticks. All right, so I want to flip this to you first. I have my opinion, but I want to give you a chance to go first here. So Griffin, who is now in charge of the Pelicans.
Yep, David Griffin.
David Griffin.
Formerly of the Cavaliers.
Terrific basketball mind, good principles, connected, smart, shrewd, passionate, everything, right? Did a great job on TV. He's going to do good things there. The word is that he really likes Brandon Ingram, which obviously would not preclude them from doing this deal that seems to have been positioned as dead by most people, including me. Based on the owner's statements that she wouldn't do a deal with the Lakers over her dead body, to use her words. So, what do you think? Is this a new door that opens in the Davis to Lakers pursuit or what?
I think that David Griffin is a smart man and not an emotional one. Mm-hmm. And I think the previous regime there let this get emotional.
Demps.
Exactly. Well, Del Demps, who was fired not too soon after this whole fiasco with the Los Angeles Lakers happened before the trade deadline. And so I think that was an emotional, yeah, you think you're going to get AD? Well, we're gonna muck this thing up and make it embarrassing for you type of thing. But that's not good business, right? To try to get the, you know, the poker in on somebody as opposed to getting the right deal, because you know he's leaving. You have to get a deal. And if that was the best deal, then you have to take it. And I think the problem was is that they soured it so much that they couldn't go back to it with Del Demps as the general manager. So, I mean, by necessity, you kind of had to fire the guy. I think what has...
But he also had a horrendous list of drafting.
True, but I'm just talking specifically.
Yeah, I got you.
But then I think if we look down the line, because all these other teams, except for the ones that were deep into the postseason, and now obviously just the two that are in the NBA Finals, these other teams, they're talking, right? They're trying to figure out, we're going to move parts. It happens every year in the NBA. We're moving parts. I think David Griffin just didn't get the offers or the speculative offers that were appealing enough for him to say, that's the one that I definitely need in order to move AD. And it's why you likely heard all of this rhetoric early on. We got to hold on to AD because we're not going to get the right deal for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back to the one that was forgotten, saying, that actually wasn't a bad gig with the Lakers. We just let emotion get in the way.
Emotion is the absolute, it's a detriment to any business deal.
I agree.
I mean, not only negative energy, overly optimistic.
Yep.
Like you get married to a concept or a belief, a player, a concept, a restaurant. I mean, whatever the product might be, you become too emotionally invested. It blurs your senses. It dulls your ability to really dissect and distinguish between what's the prudent financial move, or in this case, a trade, and what's not. I agree with you. If I'm the Lakers, obviously I'm doing anything just to change the narrative. I mean, you're taking it over the head for the past week.
Yeah.
That's finally died down with Magic. You ever bring in Anthony Davis, you're golden. So they're fine there. I believe that, business 101, I've said this relating to, whether it's a Yankee-Met dynamic or a Clippers-Warriors dynamic or a Giant-Jet dynamic or even a Cowboys-Texans, whatever, like in-state teams, I'm a big, big proponent. While you might take a short-term hit and lose on the phones at on the local radio shows, you cannot allow that to dissuade you from doing a smart trade, which people will forget about if it's the right one in 30 days.
Right.
Once it actually comes to fruition. Listen, Kawhi's not going there. Kevin Durant's not going to the Lakers. Forget about that.
Mm-mm.
I believe the four most plausible options for them: trade for Anthony Davis, sign a combination of Kemba, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie's a variable. Those are their four real options, in my opinion.
Yeah, and obviously the Bradley Beal one that you brought up,
and the Beal one in a trade with the Wizards.
But that's a trade. That's not a free agent.
Exactly.
I mean, given the current perception of the Lakers, free agency doesn't seem appealing right now.
That could change quick, Teague.
It could.
That could change fast.
It could. Or it could get worse.
It could. Well, how could it get worse? How could it get worse?
Because the Pelinka thing, has it fully smoothed itself out? Right? I think so, but I don't know.
I'm not even sure I'm disagreeing, but how could it get worse?
Yeah.
How could it get worse than
it's like? Because LeBron said...
Oh, if he says, truly, get me out of here?
Exactly.
Gotcha. No, then, yeah, it could get worse.
Significantly worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if LeBron's like, I'm bouncing, then nobody's going there.
Oh, then it's... Then they'd have to really do it in the most organic manner.
You're right.
Which, by the way, behoove them.
You're right. But they tried to do it.
They tried.
They got the D'Angelo Russells at the immature age.
They tried.
And they got rid of him, and he actually turned out to be a baller.
I know. They did try. That's true. And, I think what's happening to the Lakers, although their history is miles better than the Knicks, the Lakers are stumbling on that one impediment that is very dangerous to a few teams. And the Celtics tried this years ago. It didn't work out either. There's certain teams that are, very reluctant to go through what could be a protracted rebuild because of fan backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I saw the Knicks do this with Zach Randolph and all these, not that he was bad, but all these other, like these quick fixes. Let's get Stevie Francis on one knee. It doesn't work. And I think the Lakers have tried that to an extent. The irony might be, it might actually be best for them if LeBron does demand the trade. They acquiesce. They get back a million young assets and do it the right way.
Yeah, you're right.
I almost think that would be better for them.
You're probably right.
Oh, man. This summer's going to be insane. All right, let's get the update from Ack. If you want to hit us on Twitter or Tiki and Tierney, go for it. We've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up. After next hour, a lot of baseball. Steve Piscotty from the A's, with a little football at the 40s as well, and Brett Ausmus, the Angels skipper. So we have a nice mix show for you. Axe update, then we've got inbounds, out of bounds. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Back to it here. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment. First up, time for the Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa, as we take a look at a team or a player and their plan or his plan for success. And how about the Padres handing Philly starter Aaron Nola's first loss of the season last night? Now, Nola was humming along until the bottom of the sixth. San Diego able to make him work a little bit as they went through some adjustments, third time through the lineup. Obviously, that's pretty important. You follow baseball metrics, third time around gets a little different. Getting four hits and a walk in the sixth off of Nola. So they got used to him, measured him up a bit. And while he retired just one hitter while throwing 18 pitches in that frame, and he was saddled with a loss, Padres went on to win 8-2. Six of the runs were charged to the aforementioned Nola. All right, Napa Auto Parts, the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road, no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That is Napa know-how. So I mentioned earlier how I spent the last couple of days down in Tiki's home state. Beautiful state, Virginia. Williamsburg was awesome, too. Got a little tip before we get to inbounds, out of bounds here. Got a little tip for all the parents with young kids. Mm-hmm. And here it is. We viewed Busch Gardens kind of batting practice for Disney. Mm-hmm. And it is.
Yeah,
it is. It's perfect, man.
But it's manageable.
That's what I mean. Yep. It's batting practice for Disney. You got to get some reps in the cage before you can start facing guys throwing triple digits, which is what Disney equates to with kids.
I hear you.
Busch Gardens is, I went to the Busch Gardens down in Tampa when I was a little guy. I was probably seven. And I just remember being, or at least, my recollection I thought it was lame.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was like Disney with rides, and the rides were kind of lame when I was seven. It was more like learning things, which is great, but when you're seven, you want to have rides. Busch Gardens rides in
school.
Yeah, exactly. The rides in Virginia are incredible.
It's because it's VA, man. Come on.
Some of these rides were terrifying.
Come on, don't sleep on VA.
You know the Buccaneer ride? I mean, this one's actually, you've been on that, right?
I hate that one, by the way.
If you don't like that ride, then you're definitely not a ride guy. Because it's like the half moon, it goes up. And then they had this other one in Ireland that it's the same like force, the same concept that was, I didn't even go on it. I'm like, I don't know if I can handle that thing.
That's why I don't go on
it. It looked like the Buccaneer ship times a million. I passed.
Tracy is the ride parent for our kids.
I am too, more so than Jen. But
I'm not at all. I don't like rides.
No, I'm getting my limits. I'm getting older. Right. The higher I get, I'm getting a little nervous. Yeah, I noticed that. The heartbeat's going a little bit quicker. The roller coaster is crazy. But anyway, Busch Gardens, if you're thinking about taking a trip this summer, and many of you are, with families, you're not sure if you're ready for Disney, hop in the car if you're somewhere in the Northeast, somewhere on the seaboard, and go to Williamsburg and go to Busch Gardens. It's phenomenal. We had a great time. All right, Tiki, you ready for inbounds, out of bounds?
I am.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Wish I would have gotten to Ireland a little bit earlier because that's when I had a shot at James. It would have been a couple hours earlier. Would have been nice. Why did we go to Ireland last? What are we doing? Got to see my people. All right, Teague, former Bucs star Gerald McCoy, hot commodity. We know about this. Now, a little bit of a surprise. Tampa released, and that wasn't really the surprise. No. The surprise was we thought he was going to stick with either the Browns or the Ravens, and the Panthers moved in side door, and that's actually how it went down. Yesterday, McCoy signs a one-year deal to play with Carolina, worth less than what both the Browns and the Ravens, who kept him there a second day, if you recall.
Yep.
We touched on this last week. What they offered him. So it took less money to stay with Carolina or to go to Carolina. Now, some people believe that McCoy wants to get back at the Bucs, who the Panthers play twice a year. So we get and then they even gave Ndamukong Suh his number right away. So, I mean, no respect for Gerald McCoy. Come on. Inbounds, out of bounds. Signing with a team in order to get revenge on your former team is inbounds or out of bounds, Tiki?
I'm going to say out of bounds here. If it's that, if that's the only reason that you're signing with the Carolina Panthers, it very rarely works out that you get your revenge in a devastating way. So I'm going to say out of bounds for that. But it's interesting because Jenna Lane, who is a beat reporter down there at for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, noted the coincidence, the timing of the Buccaneers giving Ndamukong Suh his number 93, as you just said, and then the like the immediate signing of Gerald McCoy. And Gerald McCoy subtweeted it back, like, come on, you're just making up stories and things of that nature. And she wrote back, she responded to him saying, you have my number, you could have told me the real story. And it kind of ended. So is it a revenge thing? Probably, you know, a little bit, but it can't be the only thing because you're ultimately going to be dissatisfied if that's what you think is going to make you feel better.
Okay, I'm going to answer this just solely from his point of view because I do think if I answered in, you know, broad base, just in generalities, I might have a bit of a different answer. Mm-hmm. My answer is inbounds, and I'll tell you why. He's got all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. All right, he's made six Pro Bowls. Now he's still chasing the championship. And, you know, you could certainly make the case that between the Ravens, the Browns, and the Panthers, you can, even though everybody's hot on the Browns, and you and I both like them coming into the season, you can make a pretty strong case if Cam's healthy. You know, they're pretty good defense, offensive lines, you know, McCaffrey's a beast. I mean, they're starting to spruce some things up there that the Panthers could, you know, have a chance to make a little noise as well. So it's not like he's compromising winning.
No.
But with the money and theoretically going to a good team, I don't think he's compromising the important things enough where it's just a reckless emotional decision.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't view it that way. And listen, if you get a chance to win, get paid, and beat the team that dumped you, hey, let's go for it.
I think in this specific case, it works. But in general, as it's presented, I don't think it always works.
That's fair.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Zeke, moving on. Let's get to the NBA or this aspect of the NBA. Now, many around the league are clamoring for expansion. Mm. We've heard this a lot. You and I have talked about this. With many hoping the league adds a team in Las Vegas. I don't think that's going to happen. Seattle would love to see it. Or maybe even Canada. Second team there. I don't know about that. However, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver put some cold water on the hopes over the weekend.
We are just not in expansion mode at the time. I mean, you know, we're flattered that some other Canadian cities have expressed interest, as some other U.S. cities have. But, you know, again, nothing new, and I've said this before, that we, meaning the NBA collectively, all our team owners are very focused on creating the best possible competition among the 30 teams. And I'm sure inevitably at some point we'll turn back to expansion, but it's not on the agenda at this time.
Okay, T, there's the commish inbounds, out of bounds. The NBA should add two teams, we'll say, in the next 5 years.
I'm going to say out of bounds to that, BT. I think there's not enough good teams right now. There's teams that race to the bottom every single year. So I think creating, as he said, creating competitiveness for all those teams makes sense. Then if the market grows, you should. Canada is interesting because the failure in Vancouver is not something we think about a lot, but that was a bad one. And a lot of fans up there still dislike in the NBA because of that failed experiment in Vancouver, obviously, and now in Memphis. So I think they have to be smart if they're going to expand. And it's got to be a city that they know is going to embrace the game. Mm-hmm. And that's your reservation with Vegas.
My reservation more. That's more my reservation with Canada.
True.
That's a real. True. You know, we've seen this before.
True. But it's also Vancouver. In Vegas. I mean, you got to have like a local fan base, not like a visiting fan base. Mm-hmm. It'll work with the NFL because people.
That's working with hockey. Same amount of games.
True.
41 home games.
That's a good point.
You know,
good point.
I feel like this just. And again, when I lived in Vegas, Tiki, it was so long ago. It's I lived there in 2001. It's a different world. So. I know the infrastructure is radically different from when I was there, so maybe I'm still kind of in that antiquated mindset a bit. Maybe they are equipped to handle a representative from each major league. I don't think so, but my answer is out of bounds, and it's a simple, listen, to me, this is an easy one. I'm not a fan of anything with a time parameter. Mm. Think about this. Forget about sports for a second. I don't know that men really sit around and talk about this, but if we did, and you sit around with your buddy saying, man, I have to get married by the time I'm 30, you might marry the wrong person.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Yeah, I'm 30. I'm 29. I better get on my knee. You know, when you know damn right, she's the wrong girl for you. Or, you know, I have to own real estate by the time I'm 28. You might buy
in 2008
a slop house.
in 2008.
Bubble burst, everybody's screwed.
Right.
So I don't like it for that. Time restraints, yeah. Just, it's dangerous. If you believe that the league is healthy and they've got enough measurements to distinguish if it is or if it is not, in 5 years or 2 years, whatever the number is, revisit it. If everything adds up, if you believe that those possible markets are passionate and are craving the sport and the infrastructure can support it, go for it. Simple as that.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, T, so the baseball draft, obviously not quite the fanfare, but that's going on. Round one was last night. Rounds two and three going on, and obviously on and on and on. A million rounds, it seems. So the Orioles take Oregon State catcher Adley Rutschman, first overall. That's amazing for a catcher to go first overall. What's even maybe more amazing, for the first time in Major League Baseball draft history, a pitcher was not selected in the top six picks. The Reds wound up taking TCU Southpaw, a lefty with the seventh pick, and the first high school pitcher went 18th to the Pittsburgh Pirates, okay? So since 2014, 10 high school pitchers have been selected in the top 10 with some pretty sloppy results. 2014, number one, Brady Aiken went. And never signed with the Astros, suffered many injuries. In 2016, the fourth overall pick, gentleman by the name of Riley Pint, he's 3-20 in the minors with an ERA of almost 6. Good research on this, Santer. Good job. 2017, you and I talked about this.
Yeah,
he was on the cover of SI.
Yeah.
The hitter and the pitcher, Hunter Green, Tommy John, sir, you just never know. So the question is, inbounds, out of bounds. It is too risky for major league teams to select high school pitchers in the top 10.
I'm going to say inbounds here, BT. Let's also not forget that the eighth pick, Carter Stewart, last year, we talked about this as well, decided to go play in Japan instead of coming. So, yeah, I'm saying inbounds because of the injury issue that happens so often with pitchers nowadays. It's like a rite of passage, in a sense. Did you have Tommy John or have you not had Tommy John yet? And it informs the decisions that teams make about pitchers and when to bring them up. So it's a lot. And I think it's easier if you've had guys go through the college ranks. Interesting, Mo Vaughn and Frank Thomas were here yesterday.
Yep.
And we didn't make it to air, but we were talking about the difference between going straight from high school and going to college. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the right college, SEC, ACC, wherever, you're liking double A. So it's almost better to go to college sometimes than it is to come straight from high school. So I'm going to say inbounds.
I saw some of the video from that, and we've had Mo in studio many times. Great guy. I would have liked to have been here for the Big Hurt, and it looked like you guys did a good job with that.
He's
talking awesome. About the strikeouts. It seemed like it was a really good spot. The one thing I had to go and check out of curiosity, I knew it was a big number. Mo Vaughn had 28 home runs as a freshman at Seton Hall with a metal bat. Think about how big that guy is with a metal bat back then when the barrel was still 2 5/8 and jacked up before they tweaked the dimensions. Wow. Would not want to play first base with him hitting. All right, so my answer, I don't even know. I want to play right field with him hitting. Inbounds here. All right. Bottom line is this, Teak. The pitchers simply are not the commodities that they once were.
That's right.
I mean, there are a multitude of big-name pitchers who are having bad seasons this year. We've talked about them over the course of the year. There's a lot of relative no-names who are, just punching through and starting to establish themselves. And between the innings limits and the pitch limits, they're just not nearly as valuable as they were. And here's the other thing. You don't have to be as good as you once were when everybody strikes out.
Mm-hmm.
Something Mo Vaughn and Big Hurt talked about.
Right.
I mean, back in the day, like when Pete Rose was playing, everybody, it was disrespectful to strike out. You needed perfection. You needed a craftsman. You need a surgeon with velocity and location. Now, I'd rather draft the hitter who's going to mash, really, and have a good bullpen.
Yeah.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
So Frank Thomas, first year, talking about strikeouts, BT, his first year that he won the MVP, I think it was 1993.
He went back-to-back.
Yeah, went back-to-back, and then Mo was back after him. Uh-huh. So it was back-to-back-to-back for the three that were in the room yesterday.
That's nice.
54 strikeouts.
For a masher who
walked
a lot, too.
Exactly. 54 strikeouts. That's it.
54. How many plate appearances did he have? I mean,
he had 41 strikeouts and 676 plate appearances.
Wow.
The next year,
that's incredible. That's
38
incredible.
Strikeouts. He had, 38 home runs, 61 strikeouts.
Yeah, Mo, I know Mo actually said this. Mo was always more of a swing and miss guy, certainly than Frank. Frank was different.
But
Frank
he's not hitting 250.
No. Frank was like that Walt Riniak, the old esteemed hitting instructor. like that off the 1 foot and the long follow through to get the outside pitch. Frank Thomas was a Mo was a masher. Frank Thomas was a wizard, was a magician for his time. He was never vulnerable despite being 6'6". He was great. Hour two coming up, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.